Last time, Pat.
Okay, we're here in the Strathclyde Public Library today. I'm with Tom Brennan, and we're going to talk about the history of East Rockaway. Today is November 22nd, 2019, and I'm the interviewer, Margaret McCune.
Okay.
So, Tom, your family goes back quite a bit ways in the history of East Rockaway, am I correct?
Yeah, my grandparents were here in 1903. And his brothers and sisters, my grandparents, they were already out in Massapequa and out east. They had on Sunrise Highway, as I was telling you before, they had a Desart Apollo Garden, which is beer and food. They would bring the wagons, they would eat, and they would sleep in the wagons and then head out east further. So it's a long time, and how they found it or came out here, I don't know. They were from Union City, New Jersey.
Wow, that was quite a trip then.
Yeah, it was, to me, it was amazing.
Yes.
Because there was no train. Like you say, you had to catch the bus from Jamaica Station to Limbrook, and believe it or not, then you would, there was a bus that came from Limbrook to Main Street. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, they had a bus that, a Bay Park bus.
Yes.
That went up to Main Street and Limbrook to pick people up.
Yes.
So it was an interesting time. It's like people who went out west.
Exactly.
It was just
exactly.
About the same thing.
I don't think they brought the train and electric ride till 1910 in East Rockaway, the Long Beach line.
Yeah, I don't have the exact date.
I think from the grist mill,
there are
pictures of that.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, it was a big to-do. That was when it was electrified, though. Before that, I don't know what they had.
Yeah, no, it was a trolley in Limbrook. There was no actual train that came from Jamaica here. It went to Hempstead Branch.
Oh, okay.
Because Hempstead was actually the hub of Long Island.
Right.
It was the big place to, after the war, that's where we shopped. There was no Green Acres Mall, Roosevelt, nothing. So we all drove, took the bus.
Took the bus.
Yeah, either went to Jamaica Avenue, which was the big place,
right.
Or you went to Hempstead.
Yes, the bus left from East Rockaway.
Yeah.
Went right over to Klein's on the square in West Hempstead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It was just a different era. What's the name of that show with Andy Griffin and...
Yes.
The boy?
Mayberry.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
That's, right.
That's what it was, really.
It was.
I mean, this only had one light.
Yeah.
An interesting fact that people don't, you would know, Atlantic Avenue didn't go through.
I know.
It stopped at the Dairy Barn. It was Regan's Realty.
That's right.
Then you would go around the loop, and then, the county said the traffic was terrible, and so they put the road through.
I remember that very well.
And they did it because... they guaranteed the upkeep and the constant fixing of
the road. That's
yeah.
Why we have all the trucks going through it.
Yeah, but people look at you and go, huh? What was the name of that next to Villa Roma?
The American Legion.
Huh?
The American Legion.
Yeah, American Legion. You remember that was all woods and 120-foot trees, and right across the street was the Rame Estate.
That's right.
The Rame Estate was gorgeous, and Bethany wasn't there. Their building was next door. The little wooden building was Bethany.
The American Legion, I just found out, dated back
quite a ways.
Time.
Yeah.
When they renovated the kitchen and they opened the floor up, they didn't have nails in the wood. They had wooden dowels.
Dowels, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite an old building.
Yes.
Part,
Yeah.
And there was a house next door, as you said.
Yeah, Duncan's lived in it.
Duncan's lived in the American Legion.
They lived in the Legion?
They were the caretakers.
Yes, okay.
They lived on the second floor.
Okay.
I had flashbacks when I went up there.
Really? I've never been, I don't even know if I've been in there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was very interesting. They were the caretakers, and I think they probably took that place, rented that place in the 1940s.
Mm. Well, they lived there all through high school.
Yes.
All through high school, yeah.
But, I mean, the American Legion. Took possession of the building in the 1940s.
Oh, okay. And the little pie right across the street from the American Legion, Earl Anderson.
Yes.
Owned that, and he used to put boats and sell Christmas trees. And It was an interesting, a matter of fact, right here where we're sitting was Brophy's funeral home.
That's right.
There was nothing going back that way almost till you got to the Criterion. There was a few stores.
That's right.
Yeah, and then across the street from here was that lovely farm.
That's right.
I used to buy the flowers for Easter for my mother and stuff.
Yeah.
A little short man, he had rickets. He was so terribly bow-legged, as am I. But he would be out there plowing by hand and, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, really something. It was when you get here, you realize how great it was then.
I know.
Then you were just growing up, roughnecks, and the people on this side of the railroad tracks were, they called us clam diggers.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was just the terminology.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were the.
But it was a very relaxed, for us anyway, growing up, a very relaxed way of living.
Yeah, it was. It was.
There
were so many things in East Rockaway. You know, Bobby Weezer, they owned Sterling Pierce. That was the huge industrial laundry.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that big village hall wasn't there. It was a little wooden building. And the library was there. And then they moved the library, I don't know how many times.
The library was across on Main Street.
Yes.
The medical
and building. Then it was right where Scranton comes in. That little tiny store, it was the interim post office while they were waiting to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember where the post office is now, where they had the carnival every summer?
That was great. No apartments, the Cappies and the East Point Inn, and then everything else was...
The carnival.
Carnival time.
1 week in July.
What a great time.
I mean, you had
it was.
And East Rockaway, really.
For us.
For us it was.
You know, we didn't have, the winter thing, the summer thing, the fireworks. Here's an interesting thing, and Marge would know. We were one of the only towns around that had a pizza place, Larry's Pizza. The only other place was the Caniers.
Yes.
On Atlantic Avenue where the 7-Eleven is.
Yes, that's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
And people say, what? I remember my brother bringing the pizza home for the first time. Now, he's 82. So he would bring it home, you know, in the mid-50s, let's say, and my mother was astounded. She went, it was so big. And she said, what is that, John? Pizza. Oh, my God, pizza. And from that day on, the woman couldn't get enough pizza.
That's right.
But, you know, these are the things, and that was where we went after school, whatever, the pep rally, rock rivalry, Larry's Pizza. That was the center.
That was it.
But there were so many things in town. There was Green Signs, the shoes. There was Alties across the street, the meat.
Yes.
The candy stores was Tramer. There was... he came after Tramer. And then there was Shapiro up at the tracks. And then Glucksman.
That's right, Glucksman. Glucksman had a pharmacy too, I think.
Yeah, not Glucksman. What was his name? It was in your class, the poor boy had convulsions.
Yeah. Tomlin?
Yeah.
John Tomlin.
No. He was in Richard's class or the class ahead, John Lawson's. I don't remember. But anyway, those were the three candy stores. They were like the center.
That was it.
Of everything.
And there was also, over by Alties, there was a lady who had what I would call dry goods, all kinds of clothing, long johns, flannel shirts.
Oh, yes, right.
A little thing, and then she had loads of merchandise in that store.
Yeah, everybody, you bought your shoes, your clothes. There was the bakery in town, the big bank.
Yes.
Main Street, you know, it was just, I mean, the diner, the bank wasn't there, but the diner was there, and then there was a lot.
A lot.
A lot. And then on the other corner across from us was Richie Nelson Nursing Home.
Right.
The Nelsons.
Yes.
One supermarket over in the corner was Bohack, and then it went to Sunrise.
Sunrise, that was Sunrise.
Sunrise, yeah.
Bohack was down on the corner of Cameron.
That's right.
And, yeah.
So you had shoemakers, you had everything you needed in your little town.
I have a journal from the celebration of East Rockaway's 50 years as an incorporated village. And when you see all the mom-and-pop stores, businesses that were in town.
In town, for sure.
Because they didn't have the big supermarkets and everything.
And down where the, Lazy Lobster.
Yes.
That was Walker's Bait and Tackle.
Yes.
And right on the street, there was no bulkhead. It was all rotted bulkhead and beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there were two houses over the water.
Yes.
Fish Market.
Fish Market, yes.
And when I was young, and when you walk in, there was a hole in the floor because he'd bring the boats underneath and take the fish up through the hole. You know, that's what they did.
I know.
And the Key family lived.
Keys,
there.
Yeah.
They
Bobby
lived
Keys.
In that building on Front Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it. And then across the street, Lee Grant, the actress, her mother and father owned the Montessori.
Jack and Jill,
right there.
Yes.
On the corner.
Yeah.
Before there was all the huge fire department and everything else.
And then remember, in between that and the firehouse was Henry's Hotel.
Oh, Henry's Patio, yeah.
Henry's Patio.
Yeah.
Where I was told, and I don't remember who told me, that there was a underground tunnel from
yeah,
there.
To the Wild Duck.
Wild Duck.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. It just, you know, the East Point House, before someone took it over, we were kids, wild boys, and we broke a hole through each floor. And I know. And we put mattresses and rugs down on the bottom floor. So if someone should come in and, you know, want to get crazy with us, we would just jump, go straight down, and we'd be in the living room. And then we'd run out. We were kids.
Yeah. Well, that was owned by the Hewlett family, and then when he passed away, it went into disarray.
Yeah.
And they had owls living there. Do you remember that?
There were so many things living there. But we were kids, you know. You didn't wear shoes until you were, you know, 15 or something. It would hurt when you had to go to school to put your shoes on. All summer, we never wore shoes. And we would try to scrape and pick the tar off our feet because it stayed there.
Yes.
It was just a different time. You know, it was just...
especially living down on the wrong side of the track.
Living down.
With the water and fish.
And it just seemed like we were so far from everything, but we weren't, in fact. But and no one really... I ran everywhere. If I had to go someplace, it was the old walk a block, run a block. So you were there like that. You know, that's how you did it. Bikes, my parents weren't so... Well, off some bikes, you went in the garbage, and you found a fork here, a back thing here, and you put this thing together and said, great, what a bike. And
you
off
know,
you
that
went.
Walk from Bay Park up to the East Rockaway High School would kill you in the winter. I mean,
yeah.
No one drove. There was no one to drive me.
Yeah, I know. I was right with you.
I know.
And then the other side of town was so different over where the DPW is now, because... It was really just boatyards. It was Ackley's Boatyard,
yes.
And then Anderson's. Neely Barnett's across the water, and Marty O'Neill.
And Anderson.
Anderson, he had up where all those apartments are and stuff. So, you know, it just was a different feel to everything.
Oh, yes. Definitely a very different
feel. And then they said, the flooding, and it comes up into the street, and it's just, you know, we kids, we loved it.
I know.
We had pieces of wood. We floated around. We it was... It was the parents that maybe got upset with the water. We were kids.
But the water never came as high as it does today.
Not on Bayview Street. You know how it goes up?
Yes.
And this Sandy was the thing that really got my brother. He didn't think it was going to come up, but...
The hurricane of 1960, Donna.
Oh, yeah.
We were living there. I wasn't there. But my grandmother, we were in the middle of the block. They came up the block with a boat.
Yeah.
And had to leave. And she said, I'm not getting in that boat. Because the water, it came from the pole.
Bulkhead, yeah.
And from the bulkhead. But that was the most we ever saw. Until Sandy.
Yep. We were dry land at the top of Bayview Street. I don't know how that worked out. But and then, of course, where the sewer plant is now, and you probably remember, the turmoil when they went from cesspools to central sewer was just... Today, the people would be... You know, shooting each other.
Oh, definitely.
Nothing but planks everywhere. They put in 8-foot pipes all the way down north for years.
So I was in Rame Avenue, and at that time you would walk home for lunch. Mm. So I would go from Rame Avenue, and I remember the planks.
Planks everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because they had to put these huge main trunk line pipes in so that all the houses could then be dug. And every house, they dug from about 3 feet all the way back to 7 feet in the street. And then they had to put pipes in every block and connect. It was an undertaking that you wouldn't believe.
Yes, it's true. It was.
It really was. And people today, they would say, oh, we wouldn't put up for it. But, you know, they were changing to central sewer. And like I said, the sewer plant wasn't there, and it was just meadow with these three huge creeks.
Creeks through there.
That went all the way down to the bay because there was no police or anything down at the end.
And at the time, my father had said that when they were trying to put the sewer plant in, they told everyone it was a Pepsi-Cola plant. And people found out they set it on fire.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that either. I think they put the sewer plant in the early, mid-50s, 54, 5, 6, 7.
Even way before that, because I lived on Bayview, and I used to cut through the road in the park, and the plant was there then.
Really?
Yes, because...
I thought it was the mid to early 50s. But anyway.
Yeah.
They put it in.
It's there.
There it is.
Bigger than ever.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, and then if you started up Ocean Avenue, the big deal was Davidson's Boatyard.
Yes.
Everything else was swamp, where the Best Market is, the apartments on the right, the left. It didn't make any difference. There was nothing.
Nothing.
And you would go all the way up, and then the Commuters Club wasn't there.
No.
There was a building out towards the railroad track. Believe it or not, it's the old thing. I had great ideas and no money. I wanted to finish that house off and put a big clock and put a little cafe restaurant so the people came for the train, could eat, grab their stuff, see the clock, jump out, and go on a train.
Well, that was when I was in seventh grade. That was a hotel there, and they had a man that sat there to put the gates
up and down, yes.
Yeah, but it was like a dilapidated hotel.
Hotel, yeah. And anyway, it was in. And then when you went up further to Pearl Street, you would come over Pearl Street onto Ocean Avenue, and you would drive right into this milling. Huge logs, and they would mill them and cut the wood for the lumber yards. And people said, no. I said, oh, yes.
Yes. And yes. Then what was the contracting company next door to it? And in the back was the mill, but it was sitting there on the AMPT company, rotting away for many years.
Yeah. What was the name of that?
I think 1964.
Parkwood Nassau. Okay. Parkwood Nassau Woods and Laminated Woods. Yeah. But anyway, and then, you know, you went up to the high school. It's not the high school. The new gym wasn't there. They were just building it when we were...
1960, they built it.
Yeah, and then the wing on the side wasn't there. Remember, you used to go down that path all the way up, and everybody used to smoke until Faulkner came out and caught you. So, you know, it was a different time.
Definitely.
Yeah, different
Definitely.
Time.
I was telling someone the other day, at lunchtime... because everything is so secure now, you can't even get near the place. At lunchtime, we'd have our lunch in the cafeteria, and we had a record player, and we'd play music, and we'd dance.
Judy Milner was telling me that, you know, Sister Chris. She was telling me that the other night at that Hungry Empty Ball in the high school, and I was like,
"Yes,
I never danced. I guess the girls danced."
It was the girls, no, not the girls.
Because I don't remember being there for lunch.
Yeah,
I ran down Prospect to that deli on the
bend?
On the railroad tracks, or you went to Herrick's
on the
bend.
It was a little, it's still, the house is
still there.
It's painted orange and black.
Yeah.
And Karen Herrick and her mother ran.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, these things, you know, as you go along. The fact that the Lister Park, where I live, right off Park Avenue, they wouldn't let Rockville Center build that baseball diamond there because the line of East Rockway went across and it covered between third, home plate, and first. Yeah, can you imagine?
Really?
So they made an agreement and they let them lease that property. Crazy. And Mill River, like I said, used to go all the way up to Hempstead, and horses pulled the barges with the corn and the wheat and all the seafood and shell food up to the railroad in Hempstead and Manhattan. And that's how that's why East Rockaway was such a bustling place. Until they built the railroad, and then we went to clam diggers.
That's right. But, you know, I can remember, it was my grandfather, I guess, I can't think of it, Mr. White. He was the father, probably, of Florence Turlough. And he would be working on our property, and then he'd say, I have to go get the mail. And he would stop what he was doing, get in his truck, and go up to the railroad station and pick up the mail.
Mm.
Why they did that and what he did with it, I don't know. But I guess he brought it to the post office.
I don't know then how they treated Bay Park because we were town of Hempstead.
Yes.
You know how they differentiated between us. You know, you're a kid. You're not paying attention to that so much. You just hear people sitting around talking and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
And then we became good friends with all the policemen at the phone booth. And then, of course, good humor, man.
Right.
Well, you know, he was like one of the people.
Yes,
he would stop at every couple of houses, friends, and he would have a beer. Sit in the backyard, and being the kids who knew him, we would watch the truck, make sure nothing happened.
Yeah.
He, you know, I remember sitting out front, I guess even when you were there, we didn't have a television, and the people had these little televisions. And then they bought these plastic screens that went in the front.
Magnified.
Yeah, to magnify it. So we would sit out in the trees and look in, because we didn't have, and we would see these shows. Otherwise, you sat in your living room or your parents' bedroom to these huge radios.
Yes.
These Emersons and Philcos, and listen to the Shadow Knows and the Green Hornet. And,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It was just such a, what was the name of the town?
Different.
Mayberry. That's what it was, really? It really was. Yeah, I know they bring all these things into the village to keep community and, of course, property valuation and everything else so that there are things to be interest for the children and for the parents. But then, you know, you walked every place. They didn't have tree lighting. They didn't have anything.
And it was easy to walk.
Yeah. It was just if you went up Atlantic Avenue, I don't know if you know this. The only thing big around there was the Rockland Gardens, the white apartment houses past St. Raymond's.
Right.
Now, if you went up a little further, there was Stokes Horse Farm. Did you know that?
I know the name Stokes.
Stokes. There was a ute. He had the property from the Rockland Gardens almost all the way up. And he boarded horses and trained people to ride horses and stuff. Yeah, Georgie Stokes. And then if you went up further by, what is that, the Atlantic Avenue School, it's now a kindergarten?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that property where they play baseball?
Yes.
There were five houses on that property. The Sinkews took the houses. He owned Doxy Place. He took all five houses and put them on Doxy Place. On empty property.
On empty property. They used to move houses quite often here.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
The big house by Rame Avenue on Alt House, the Woods House, the big...
Oh, yeah.
That was on Main Street and was moved back then.
Back then.
Yeah, way back.
Way back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just... interesting. And that's as far as we went in those days. Just about Lynbrook Sunrise Highway.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Didn't need to go any further.
Nope. Had everything right here.
So it's just an interesting time. And you don't look at it in perspective till you get older.
No. And do you remember the swimming races in the canal?
Yes, I do.
That was always... They were still doing those when some of my children were younger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ah.
Something like... Yeah, they were doing them maybe to some part of the 60s, I think.
Yeah. I left in 61, 62. I was gone for 5 years. So then when I came back, everything had changed.
Yes.
The interesting Bay Park, when I was a kid, I was a lifeguard there 1 year. Then I went to Long Beach, then I went to Jones Beach lifeguard. But we would sit on the beach, and you could look right across at Swift Creek, they called it,
yes.
Coming from the bay. And it was maybe... couple of hundred feet out from us. I came home, and now it was 3/8 of a mile. And I went, how did that happen, Mom? And she said, oh, they filled it in and built a golf course. And I was like, very interesting. And then I came by, and the grist mill wasn't there. I said, where is the grist mill? She said, oh, it's in the park. What? No one called me. I was not. No one told me. No permission was granted. Yeah, and things started changing.
Yes.
So
that's
fast.
Really, when they opened that road also.
Yeah, Atlantic Avenue went through then. It was the traffic and amazing. It really, again, I noticed it more when I came back from the service.
Oh, definitely.
And everything was just...
very much changed.
Yes. Yeah. And where I lived on Lawrence Street, my grandfather had built the house for his wife's sister. Her name was Little, and then her husband had passed, and she married Mayer. He owned the deli across from St. Raymond's.
Yes.
Ed Mayer, and he was an umpire for different sports. Another interesting fact, across the street on the railroad tracks in Center Avenue, it is now to the south. It was always to the north. There were those two buildings right on the railroad tracks.
Okay.
Yeah, and across the street, all those houses, you know the Deckers?
Yes.
The electricians? Okay. That's where they used to have their Sandlot baseball.
Yeah.
All the guys from Rockaway, Manhattan, Brooklyn, they could come right in on a train, play the games, get back on a train, and go home.
Yes.
Yeah. When they took those two houses down that were the train stations, boy, that broke my heart. They were just like landmarks to me.
Yes.
When we were cold and we were playing up there, we could go in. There was a heater on.
Unfortunately, I think through the 1950s, many houses and different landmarks were knocked down with progress.
Yes, progress.
And it was gone. Once it's gone,
it's gone. Yeah.
You know?
Like they saved the grist mill. That was one station they could have saved because there were none in East Rockaway. That was just an open platform. But Center Avenue, there was.
Yeah.
You know that, I don't remember the year, I think it was the very late 30s or early 40s, you might know. The train was elevated earlier in the 30s in Rockville Center, and my father was a volunteer fireman. He was a New York State fireman as well. But the train came in around 3 o'clock or something in the morning and went right off the tracks and right down.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact year, but it was back there. It was back then, and my father said it took...
I think it might have been a little later, because the people were killed in that one.
Oh, yes, quite a few, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But he was telling me all about it. There's a lot of... You know, it's a little town, doesn't have the bustling commerce. Well, now it has more, but it had a history to it that people don't know. If you go way back when the Indians, and, of course, Hewlett and Denton... And was it Fordham or Rame?
Del Denton.
Yeah.
Lived at number 60 Denton Avenue.
Yeah.
And he died probably in the 70s as a 90-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah. But they really formed East Rockaway. Yeah. They, of course, monopolized everything because nobody else had money.
Well, where across from Wendy's, where those apartments are, you'll see it in the grist mill. That was called Millionaire's Row. All the big colonial homes of the Hewletts, the Rains, the Dentons, whatever.
Yeah.
Phipps, they owned property. They bought up all the property because they had their money.
They had the money, yeah. And they controlled, through the Indians, they controlled all the fishery, everything that came out of the bays, and there was everything. It was oysters, clams, crabs, you name it, in the bay. And then they were taught how to... grow things, the corn, the wheat, the hay. So they had really a monopoly here.
Yeah.
And interesting.
And then the grist mill being on where the cleaners is, where they could grind.
Grind whatever. Everything up, and then it was ready to go to market. There was something I was trying to they have a lovely plaque across Mill River from the park, mm-hmm. almost directly across from the basketball courts. If you go around, you'll see now they're making this nature path. Nassau County, got it?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So now the park cuts off and it goes right to Sunrise Highway. You can walk a little bit. If you come back around past the soccer fields, I don't remember the name of that street, but there's a lovely plaque there saying that in 16-something, the Rockaways, mm-hmm. that was the chief name, Rockaway, the Merowick, which is Merrick,
right.
Chieftain, and Takapusa,
yeah.
which is out in Massapequa.
Okay.
and they sold all the land. Must have been a bargain from, you know how good the people are, from the Rockaways all the way out past Seaford and north.
Yeah.
Wonder how many beads they had to give them for that. But anyway, the plaque is there. And I'm kind of a history guy, and I love it.
Yes.
And it's Ray, believe it or not, Fordham. So he's an old name in East Rockaway.
Fordham.
Henry Fordham.
Henry Fordham, yes.
Yeah.
He was the music director at East Rockaway High School.
Yeah. The Rames, the Dentons, the Fordham, and there was another, Carmen.
Yeah. And the deed for my house says Davison Farms.
Does it?
Davison Farms. Now, Davison lived south of Main Street, right over here, but I guess they were all over. There were a lot of Davis.
Yeah.
They own that property up this where I am. Yeah.
My grandfather lived on Union Avenue. I don't know if you know where Beckman's Deli is.
Your father had told me
that
years ago.
And it used to be a feed and grain store. Yeah. And I was a little kid. My brother, of course, is, like I say, 82. My grandfather would say, go up to Beckman's and get me some beer. So he would take the little tin that had the locking top. He would get it, and then we'd walk back. And across from 227 Union, well, you know, was Farm, Brennan's Farm. My grandfather had the farm all the way down, almost, well, to your block. So, you know, it was, and then down where Limerick South is, you should know that too, there was this huge lot and a pit. It was called the pit. And we used to make rafts and float out to the middle of the, and try to see how deep it was.
Yeah.
Tie brick to ropes, and every time we found more rope, we'd, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was a horse riding academy right down Prospect. You know the circle? They had a circle on Peninsula Boulevard.
Yes.
And there was horse riding there. Hewlett and Inwood people would come down and, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, now it's zoom, 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 go, go, go.
Unbelievable.
Those days, hey, it was just, you would meet people in town, and that's how you stayed in touch.
Yes.
You know, there weren't, barbecues and everything. No, there was a summer party.
Yeah.
People would get together, 4th of July, they would get together, and it was just, again, you have to look back in perspective and say,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Definitely
yeah,
was.
St. Raymond's Church was a beautiful little wooden church
yes.
with the wrought iron fence went around. That was gorgeous.
They have pictures of that in the grist mill.
Yeah.
That and the rectory.
Oh, and in, what is it, Memorial Park?
Memorial Park.
That's where my mother went to school.
Oh, in the Woods Avenue.
Woods Avenue School. One room school taught everybody.
That was on where the grist mill sits now.
Oh, yes, right.
That sat there, and I think it went to eighth grade.
Yeah, I think my mother, I don't know if she went that far because the Depression hit and all the kids had to go out, whether they were doing laundry or cleaning or straightening people's houses, whatever, you know, to bring money in.
I worked with a lady in East Rockaway High School when I first worked there who had gone and attended the school, Fran Smith.
Smith.
Yeah, her maiden name was Leahy, I think. But she came from East Rockaway, and so did her husband. And they graduated, I think, in one of the first classes, 38 or 39, out of East Rockaway High School. Yeah, but she had attended the Woods Avenue. But she didn't want to tell anyone because they'd find out her age.
There were so many famous people in East Rockaway. Brian Keith.
Oh, yeah, you have that.
Don Murray, Lee Grant. That little boy, the redheaded boy that played in one of the TV series, lived down in Eula Point. I can't remember his name.
Yes, Cliff.
Yeah.
Cliff something.
Cliff something. Put that down. It's official. Cliff.
Don Murray is, I can visualize him. But Don Murray was back here a few years ago, maybe.
Yeah, yeah,
years
yeah.
Ago, and he did a little presentation in the high school and Richard Moore had invited him, and he's very personable, very nice.
Very nice. My mother and my aunt Adeline, they were good friends with him, and he was a little younger.
Yeah.
But they knew him, and Don Murray.
That Rock Rivalry 50th anniversary, 1986, they had invited him to come.
Yes.
Well, you know, he called the high school and I got to speak with him. And he said, you know, I would love to come because it really meant he was very big into acting and everything in school. And he said, but he just couldn't make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very personable.
He was friend with Lammy Goldman, who I knew through sports. He was much older than me, but
Lammy
Weiss, Freddie Weiss.
Yeah, yeah.
His mother, and father lived down in, his grandparents lived down on West Boulevard. Had
yeah.
the two little whiteys, little
yeah.
Scott. Yeah, yeah. So it everybody knew everybody.
Yes. Well, that's what we interviewed Ellen Sisti. She graduated. What was it? 1944 from East Rockaway.
Yeah.
And she was very knowledgeable. And she said when young men joined the service during World War II,
yeah.
they would go down to the railroad and wave goodbye to them from the school.
Because they knew so many of the boys were dying then, and it was a world war. But, you know, down the end, you'll remember this, down the end of... is it Grand Avenue and Main Street, was that big nursing home?
Yes.
The Mannings owned it?
Yes.
Another massive piece of property.
Huge. All the houses that are on it?
Yeah. I worked for her for years when I was a kid. I mean, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Do this, do that, fix this, bring the furniture down, you know. That's how you did it in those days, you know. I never had a paper route, but you found work every yeah. place that you could.
And then you learn how to do everything.
That's and Tramers, the late 40s, you would have to be down there. My brother Richard did it. And John, you'd have to be there at 4:30 in the morning. That's when they had papers that you would put the dailies together, Friday. So you would do it Saturday morning and Sunday morning.
Yes.
For 3 o'clock yeah. till 6, 7, people would be coming in, and you'd have to put the Times, the Herald, the Eagle, the Tribune, the Press,
yes.
the Newsday, and you'd put hundreds of them together. We'd have stacks of, and people, and they'd go, because that's where you got your paper.
That's where you got, that was one of the, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yep. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was just a, I don't know. To me, it was wide open and fun.
Yeah.
Wide open and fun. And people, it's funny, but there are a lot of characters. Well, I don't mean it in a bad way.
No, I know.
They were just characters.
True.
They stood out. They had
yeah.
personality, pizzazz, and some of them were a little eccentric. And, you know, you got a really spectrum of what was going on. The only thing we didn't have was multicultural.
No
Spanish, blacks. And so, you know, it was when you went to the high school or something, you got your first flavor when you left, whether you went to college or you went to the service. And, you know,
yeah.
there was no bias because you didn't have bias. There was nobody around to be biased against.
Yeah. And even at that, no, like the bullying, you didn't have, very rarely would you be made fun of or something. I mean, in a good way anyway.
Yeah, it was always school stuff, no matter what. There was bullying then, there was picking on people, there was, and there's gonna be until we're all not here anymore.
Maybe and, not as mean then as.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah.
Then there was the scholars, there were the jocks,
definitely.
There was the people that kind of just didn't want to be seen, you know, so everybody had their place. Everybody had their little clique, and that's how it was. I was a little, kind of eased into everything because I had all the brothers.
Definitely, yes.
So you saw what was ahead. Something happened, you'd go and say something, they'd say, all right, this is what you do. Stay away from him and him. This is how you keep your mouth closed. This is how...
Yeah, have a low profile.
Yeah, low profile.
Right, right. We had our 50th class reunion. We had a tour of the high school, and Don Volpus, who was the athletic director, was listening to everything. And we were talking about John Tomlin, who was in a wheelchair. I think he lived right across from
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to bring him over and carry him up and down the stairs.
Right. So John Volpus said, well, how did he get to the second floor? And all the guys said, we carried him. What
carried
do you mean?
Him. Yeah.
We just picked him up and carried him.
Yeah. I went through St. Raymond's with him. And then when he went to the high school, his parents bought that house. And so they could come right across the street.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Nice, nice, nice man. Became a lawyer.
Did he really?
I got a chance to see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Went to his funeral in Paris.
Oh, really?
I don't know how. I don't read the obituaries. My sister tells me everybody. When I die, she's going to call me and say, Thomas, you're gone. Well, some people read them constantly, and they say, oh, do you see so? And I'm like, I know. I don't.
And the funeral homes have their own websites now.
Do they really?
Because a lot of people don't put things in the paper.
Okay.
For many reasons. It's quite costly. And, you know, some people just don't want anyone to know. But, yeah, they do have their own websites.
A dear friend of mine, John Crowlin, had passed away. I never knew. I can't remember his mother's name, maiden name, because they were big in the town of Hempstead. But anyway, yeah, I don't keep up on it, and I wish I did.
Yeah, John died down in the Carolinas. He was in there, yeah. Pat Nelson was in touch with his wife.
Him and Richie were good friends.
Yes, yeah.
Nellie.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is there any particular point that you paid me to bring up? No. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have let that out. Library Corner, the White Cannon. That was world famous almost. Morrison's White Cannon. Yeah. It's an interesting place.
And that was a character.
Yeah, that was a good place to corrupt young minds. Was it not?
Yeah. You know, I was never in there?
No, nor was I.
Watched it burn down. Never. We used to sit on the dock on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
They'd have all the doors open. It was like a nightclub, but everyone was from Queens. It wasn't local people. And we would sit there and watch them dancing and whatever. That was our entertainment.
Oh, down the end of East Boulevard, it's now a yacht club, was the Brauhaus.
Yes.
It was a big German meeting hall. And well, after the war, they weren't as popular as they were before. And it was really interesting because kids, after it went to disarray, lost favor, and that was a great place to play.
I went there once with my grandmother.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I just saw a picture of that recently. I have to remember where I saw it.
The original house is still there.
Still there.
Still there. They just fixed it up. Okay. Well, we have to go to commercial?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I guess this will sum it up for
yes,
the time.
Pretty
very
much so.
Yes. Very interesting.
Good to see you again, as always.
Yes,
and I'm glad that people will get a chance to know a little bit more about our little town.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks,
Mark.
Thank
you very much.
Okay. Thank you, hon.
Are you sure you're finished? Yes?
Well, we can always come back 3 or 4 more times.
Exactly.